Today's digital cameras encourage a run-and-gun approach with their capacity to hold hundreds of photographs at a time, automatic exposure calculation, and autofocus. It's a far cry from the days of the view camera, when a single frame was exposed on a negative as large as 8 by 10 inches. Something has been lost with those modern improvements, though. The artist who wields a view camera must put a great deal of thought into each exposure and is rewarded with a wealth of detail most of today's photographers can only dream of. Christopher Cole spent years shooting urban areas of Afghanistan and Nepal with the Deerdorf 8x10 view camera. His exhibit at the Honolulu Museum of Art is called The Global South, and he's on the line from Maui. Hi, Christopher. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. You know, this is ordinarily the means by which a photograph was taken wouldn't be as relevant as it is in this case. But the very nature of the work you've got here has a lot to do with the equipment you use, doesn't it?
It sure does. So as you mentioned, the camera I used was manufactured in 1951. It's a wooden camera. By all indications, it was owned by a great many people before me. There are all sorts of engravings on it and initials and that sort of thing. I don't know anything about any of those people. I certainly would like to. But, you know, I think what really intrigues me about this process is that the camera, you know, the process requires a great deal of patience. It's very, very painstaking to make these images. As you point out, you know, they're long exposures. You know, each sheet of film is very expensive. You can usually only carry a couple of sheets of film with you on each outing. And the list of sort of challenges goes on and on. But I just love the process. I love the fact that this old technology, you know, in some cases these cameras were made back in the Depression era, yet they still endure. And not only do they endure, but they make images that I would argue are better than the images the best digital cameras of today can make.
I would argue that too, Christopher. I shoot both film and digital, and when I'm shooting film, for one thing, I give a lot more thought to each individual exposure. And that's just 35 millimeter. I can't even imagine how much thought you would have to put into an 8x10 negative.
Right. So to put things into perspective, I shoot on a budget of 2 frames per day. So I just have one film cartridge that goes into my backpack. It's a 50-pound pack, which contains the camera, a couple of lenses, the film and film cartridge and some of the associated equipment. And basically, I can't make more than 2 images in a given day, and I often don't make any. So a lot of the time spent is actually scouting locations. I look for vantage points that have a very particular sort of elevated perspective over these communities and encapsulate a lot of detail. And oftentimes, you know, I'll find a great vantage point, but then, you know, the weather's not cooperating. You really have to have the stars in alignment, so to speak, in order to get a great image. So, you know, no wind, favorable light, minimal dust, and, you know, all these other things that can kind of ruin the process for you if they don't cooperate.
Well, and detail is essential to the story that you're telling, because you're shooting. I'm looking here at a shot of Kathmandu, and you're up above the town, and what you can see is in a very detailed way there are hundreds of little stories going on. Just as the way if you're looking at a city out your window from a high elevation.
That's right, and that's you know, really what's at the core of this project for me. It sort of crystallized in my mind about 12 years ago when I first went to work in Afghanistan as an intern with the United Nations, about 2005 or so. I was doing some work in sort of the hills around Kabul, and it was just apparent to me that there's this inexorable logic of urbanization that was taking place. And it's not just restricted to Afghanistan. I see it in many different places. And what's happening is a lot of people are moving to the cities from rural areas. And, you know, they're seeking opportunity. They're fleeing, you know, war, violence, instability. But in many cases, they're settling in informal communities, meaning they have no legal title to their homes or to the land on which their homes sit. So they're essentially squatting. Although if you look at the images closely, you know, these look like very permanent settlements. So what I wanted to capture, this is sort of a marriage of my two interests in you know, the anthropology of the developing world and also in, you know, large format photography is you know, a sense of everyday life in these communities. So I really work to incorporate as much, you know, human activity as possible into each frame. And And, you know, there's a really, it's really a treat for the viewer to have what I like to call a journey of the eye. When you look at it, you can really look at the images for a long time. And even I continue to notice details that I didn't notice, you know, before, let alone when I took the shot.
It reminds me of some of the massive canvases of, say, the Renaissance or even American paintings like the Hudson River School, where it's a huge canvas with a lot going on.
That's right. And, you know, I look to that kind of work actually for inspiration, you know, because I think the same degree or a similar degree of care was put into the composition, and that sort of care is required with the 8x10 camera, you know, apart from all the other, you know, challenges I mentioned. Another difficult part of the process is that the image in the ground glass, where you're actually looking at and focusing the image and so forth, is actually upside down and backwards when you're mm-hmm. composing an image on the 8x10 camera and any other large format camera, which means you need to sort of allow for that. And it's very difficult to do that. But when you get it right, it's tremendously rewarding.
You know, the means you used isn't that far evolved from Matthew Brady in 19th century work, you know, some of the great frontier photographers who traveled west with 30 glass plates, and that's all they had for a journey across the entire country. I mean, talk about right. having to think about each shot.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I mean, on my most recent trip, I went to Mexico City to try to capture some images of the, you know, the sort of peri-urban settlements there. And I took 25 negatives with me, and I exposed all of them. And of those 25, only one made the cut for printing, and that one appears in the show at the Honolulu Museum. So, you know, it's not only the painstaking process, but you really have a lot of, you know, of cases where things just don't work out. And, you know, for whatever reason, the camera moved slightly while you were making the image, or, you know, there was some dust or x-ray exposure or what have you.
Or cloud came over the sun suddenly. And you have
right.
to, how long do you have to make an exposure, say, in an outdoor scene with this kind of film?
Well, it really all depends on the light, but that's a great question, because typically your exposures are going to be a lot longer than what you'd be accustomed to if you're working on 35mm digital cameras. So I'm often exposing for half a second or a second or longer. So, of course, that requires that there be little to better no wind at all, in addition to, you know, favorable light and all the other things that you need to have working in your favor for the whole process to work.
Anything that's moving is going to blur at a half a second.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, you know, you have, I can only imagine that behind the scenes in making these pictures were a lot of logistical difficulties, not the least of them perhaps dealing with local authorities with this huge camera. I mean, you're going to, did you attract a certain amount of suspicion from time to time?
You know, that's an interesting question. You know, on the one hand, I dealt with a lot of challenges getting the film out of the countries that I'm working in. You know, there are no facilities in places like Afghanistan for processing film that large, so I wound up having to bring it back to the States or to Europe in order to get it processed, and, you know, convincing border officials that they shouldn't open a box of something because it will ruin it, or that it should go through the x-ray machine is often sort of a losing battle. But at the same time, when I'm actually out making the images in the field, you know, I find that, you know, people don't really see me as a target of opportunity. They see the old camera, you know, it's made of wood, it's sort of dilapidated. And, you know, I think they sort of see it as an anachronism and me as an oddity carrying it around. So more often I actually get people coming and kind of wanting to learn more about the process and wanting to look through the camera as opposed to, you know, considering stealing it.
No, that's a plus. There's a lot to be said for being seen as a harmless eccentric, right?
Right.
Thanks very much for talking with us, Chris.
Thanks so much.
Christopher Cole's exhibit, The Global South, is on display in the John Dominus and Patches Damon Holt Gallery at the Honolulu Museum of Art through July 9th.